kidding. I did.
you
got
me.
I got us.
Piece of shit.
Dog.
Hello and welcome to Punta Vista, episode 403. I'm Ben, and I'm here at an exclusive warehouse party in Berlin in 1987 just for artists. I'm erotic photographer Hermann Schnellingberger. Mm-hmm. I'm sharing a schnapps spritz with my new friend, the usually reclusive keyboardist of the pioneering electronic musicer band Daydream Aquarius, Jan Kopp. It's Andrew. Hi, Jan. You must let me photograph you.
Oh, hello, hello.
Let me take your picture.
I already have all of my clothes off, except for my leather loincloth.
This would have been a great time to, like, you know, you can't pick where you're born into the world, mm-hmm. you know, where we'll end up, what sort of life we'll lead, who we'll meet. But being someone who is sort of like in their 30s, in their artistic prime, going to warehouse parties in Berlin and everyone is completely insane and insufferable, but you're all on the same wavelength, so it doesn't matter. My God, it'd be so good.
That's so interesting. Are you going to piss on me soon?
Darling, I've been pissing on you the whole time. Look down.
Oh, thank God.
Joining us for a schnapps spritz out of breath from performing one of his conceptual pieces, it's human body artist and naturist Gerhard Schwab. It's Theo. Gerhard, you must let me photograph you.
Okay, but only if you get my best side, which is my holes.
And sidling up to us with a schnapps spritz, it's erotic comics artist Carl Berger. Carl, you must let me photograph you. Let me capture you, Carl. Let me capture your body.
This is German for anus. German for holes.
Oh, that's a great question. I bet they have a really long compound word specifically for each hole on the body.
Mm. Yeah, is the answer, Hans.
Pissen holen, shitten holen, kommen holen.
Grow up. This sort of puerile thing won't fly here. For the last 3 days, I've just had...
Sorry, it should be scheißen holen.
I've had someone in a... with a German accent saying, let me photograph you, rattling around in my head for ages. It's such a troubling question. You must let me take your picture. Oh, no, I don't
should. Want that to happen.
No, I'd rather you did. And
see, if I put anus into Google Translate into German, it's just anus in English and then anus in German.
Beautiful?
Anus.
Anus.
If I put
anus.
In,
let me see your anus.
Your performing artist Karl Anus.
But if I put in butthole, it translates to Arschloch.
Yes.
Yeah. Come on now.
It's like one of the things that the soldiers in Wolfenstein yell at you. Yeah. Arschloch. Hey, I bet they had a lot of crazy relationships in the Berlin art scene in the 80s. We talk about some crazy relationship stuff in a segment we call Paging Dr. Lucy. It's time for Paging Dr. Lucy.
If you find that you are having a little relationship trouble, just pick up your telephone and dial it on the double. You call 1-800-317-515. Now you're paging Dr. Lucy.
This comes to us from r/cuckoldpsychology.
Right.
Okay.
Is it more humiliating if the bull is less manly?
That's actually such a good question.
Right? If you're measuring yourself relatively to the bull?
Like this, this is a relatively interesting logical argument here, philosophical argument.
Like, would it be more emasculating if the bull is kind of a little guy? Because then you're such a little bitch.
Yeah, like if the bull sucks a lot, what does that say about you that she's still choosing the bull over
if the bull is Jerry Lewis from the Nutty Professor?
He's 5'10".
What if your dick's so small that like a 5-inch dick is like huge to her?
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know what a regular dick size is.
Five inch,
how big's that?
I think that's close to the global average.
Okay.
It's 5.6 or something, isn't it? Fellas, what do you reckon?
Sounds right.
Yeah.
In the typical cuckolding fantasy, the trope is that the wife or girlfriend is having sex with a more dominant or manly man.
Yeah, someone we can all picture it. You know the type. Yeah. Rippling muscles.
Huge. Beautiful.
Big arms. Yeah, really big guy.
But also really smart. And yeah. He's traveling by bus around America.
Well, that's the worst part. Dog. She knew. The worst part is that she knew that she wasn't going to make a new life with him because when he was done with his business here, he was going to be gone in the wind, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
She was willing to risk it all for
one
night.
He never stays in one place.
For one night with a real man with fists the size of roast turkeys, but not for you, you know?
Global average between 5.1 and 5.5, apparently.
Okay.
Oh, it's good to know.
Yeah. Centimeters. Someone the husband or boyfriend sees as superior in some way. The humiliation, in part, comes from watching someone who's considered a, quote, better man take your partner. Any better?
Fucking hell. Wow.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Is that, a song about being unable to find a bull for your
partner? I think so.
I think it's about having a mother with an abusive husband.
Oh, shit.
I think.
Yeah. And that other stupid song's about a car crash.
Was Last Kiss a cover?
It is a cover, yeah.
Yeah. Good at remembering. Yeah, I mean, Pearl Jam was my very favorite band in the world from the ages of like 13 to 14.
Pearl Jam have some songs that fuck, and they also have Last Kiss or whatever it is.
Yeah, that is a dog shit
one
song.
One of the fucking worst things ever put on tape.
Have you seen the Australian copies of Yield that you can get that have give way signs instead of a yield sign on the front?
This is just rename it to give way. This is like when we get the movie posters where like the whole rest of the world gets the one movie poster and they have to change it just for Australia. I always find that very insulting.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've got this wrong.
Global Diaspora.
It's a live album they recorded in Melbourne, but they recreated the Yield photo with a give way sign in Australia.
Right.
That's actually extremely good.
Okay.
Makes more sense. Makes more sense.
They should have just left it like that for everybody from being in Australia, and they make kind of, you'd have to, it's a little puzzle for you Americans to solve.
Yeah.
Why does that sign say that?
You're going to be angry and you're going to be confused and you're going to feel hurt. It's called cognitive dissonance and it's going to feel very, very bad.
Give way.
But eventually you're going to calm down enough that you can use the computer. You're going to be able to look some stuff up and you're going to be like, oh, other cultures are different.
There are countries that aren't America.
Huh?
Huh?
I wonder what Theo spilled here.
I think he spilled his coffee. I don't know. But he's running around cleaning up, but also looking back to us, giving us kind of like, faces.
Oh, yeah, now he's under the desk and it looks like he's stuck. Oh,
I think he's sucking himself up. Is he sucking himself up,
Jonah?
Oh, no, he's
sucking
back.
I was gesticulating too much and I've whacked my coffee off.
Yeah, whacked something off.
Gone everywhere.
But that got me thinking, wouldn't it be even more humiliating if the guy was someone you don't respect or see as a lesser man than yourself?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's got the appeal though, right? Because you... Then your wife's kind of cheating on you.
Yeah. I guess it really depends on where you're deriving the sexual pleasure from. I did see some responses to this from people being like, no, I'm not doing it to be humiliated. It's because I want to watch my wife fuck another guy. And ideally, he's huge and muscular. So that I can get behind.
Yeah. I think we can diagnose a little psychology of the cuck. And it's like there's a part of you that is finding watching a big man have sex appealing to you, right?
Yeah.
Like.
Weirdly, it's so funny
not,
that that's not,
saying
not the part
any gay
they can
words,
acknowledge.
Just, I think there might be something to that, maybe.
Yeah. Like, just if he's got, like, nice balls or something.
Yeah,
right?
Do you somehow find something erotic about a beautiful body and a perfect penis? Or is that somehow sexy to you? like, someone weaker, less attractive, or just not impressive in any way. The idea that your partner still chooses him or enjoys it with him could cut even deeper in terms of ego and self-worth.
I guess so, just like if that's your bag.
Getting a real loser in to fuck your wife. Sorry, I'm late. My car broke down. I missed the bus. Bus drove through a puddle. I'm soaked. Oh, my hay fever's playing up real bad. Anyway, I'm here to fuck your wife.
Can you lend me a small condom? I left mine at home.
Do you have anything smaller? Like, he'd be bad at sex too, right? Like, what if your your wife is enjoying a guy that's not even good at sex?
He's just goofing up down there.
Oh, pathetic. She's having the time of her life, giving
he's
a performance
aiming it
of a
wrong.
Lifetime. He keeps slipping out.
I'm ready to start. Oh, no.
I'm just not getting any better at this.
Can we change positions? My knees are sore. My back's hurting. I need to lie down. I have a headache.
Before we start, do you guys have any bus money for me to get home?
Have you guys got any snacks? I only eat microwavable foods. Yeah. It's got to start frozen and then you microwave it. That's the only thing I'll eat, but I'm really hungry. Curious what others think about this angle, especially from people into this kink or who've thought about the psychology behind it.
Yeah, so if there's one thing I like, it's thinking about the psychology.
Yes, I like the idea that he's leaving it open that there's two types of people in the cuck psychology subreddit, which is people that are just studying them out of for psychological reasons.
I mean, that's why we're in there.
Me. That's why I'm in there. Yes, 100%. That's how I found it. Because I just sort of Google the word psychology and click on whatever comes up in my studies.
Yeah.
I do have some insight here from another person who can speak to this experience with their
beautiful
lived
direct
experience.
Survey.
Okay.
They have this to say. My bull is a lot less attractive than me.
Really looks like shit.
He stole my very sexy fiance from me, and the humiliation of that did my head in and sowed the seeds of me eventually becoming a cuck with my wife, brackets, different woman.
Wow.
Oh. I don't know if you got cucked by that guy. He just, like, he stole your girlfriend.
Okay, but no, I want you to think about the very specific language that he's using here. This man that he's talking about is his bull.
Oh.
Apparently.
No.
The guy that stole his old girlfriend?
Yet.
The uggo that stole his fiance is now cucking him with his wife.
But a different woman?
Different woman.
So this guy stole his fiance.
So he's brought a bull to the next relationship?
Yeah, the traveling bull. The traveling bull.
This guy stole his fiance and so mentally destroyed him.
That
in his next
cuck.
Relationship, he was like, God. Hey, would you mind if the ugly guy who fucked my ex also fucked you?
This is one of the most extreme cases of psychology I have ever seen in my many years of podcasting. Yes,
so much psychology here.
A lot.
This guy ruined your life so much that he made you a cuck that you then had to incorporate him into the cuck fetish that you developed as a coping mechanism for your new relationship.
Thought about him so much that you were still thinking about him and jacking off over him.
Yeah.
You went from
crying and jacking off to smiling and jacking off, and you went, you know what the common element is? I need you back. One last job.
They need each other.
Yeah,
these
maybe.
Guys, they're like Lestat and the other guy.
the interviewer.
Yeah.
No, not the interviewer. The Brad Pitt.
Yeah, Lestat and... Yeah.
Waldorf. Yeah, the other one.
Statler and Waldorf. Now we're talking. Oh, okay. He continues here. Because the humiliation was caused by him, I found it incredibly hot for him to become the bull to my wife.
God, so funny. Okay.
He's a lot more buff than he was when he stole my fiance. He became a personal trainer, but he's still pig ugly.
Oh, you love it when your bull is doing personal improvement. He can be the best bull he can be.
I just can't believe you got non-fetish cucked. Just cucked in the traditional sense of the word. And then you transition that into a fetish cuck.
He fetishized his pain. Yeah.
I found this always sort of a fine line.
Is he reclaiming his humiliation?
This should be like three movies. Like, they should make a movie from this story every 20 years
the
or so.
Cycle.
Like, having another.
Cuckadamarung.
Yeah. The Cuck Chronicles.
This is just.
like psychologically destroyed so badly that he had to invite this guy to have a permanent seat on the board of his mind, you know?
Yeah. You're part of my life now. We're bonded.
I feel nourished by this. I feel like this gives me the same kind of feel of like character development and interconnectedness as like, I don't know, Better Call Saul or something, right? Like this is a story. This
That's
is
beautiful.
A,
he's kind of imprinted on him. He's his cuck imprinted on this man.
Imprinted by husband.
They're
by,
bound forever.
My wife's ball.
It's like the diner scene from
ball?
Heat. Like these two guys are sitting down. They're completely at odds with each other in what they want. But they need each other.
You need to be ready to fuck my wife in 30 seconds when it all goes down.
I'd pay $500 for a picture of both of these guys.
Oh, my fucking God.
Confident enough to say the bull is like way less good looking than him, even though he stole your ex. That's very confident.
Is this guy unbelievably mentally healthy or unbelievably mentally sick? Like the fact that he knows all of this, he's aware of it. There's no self-delusion involved. He's not like brought this guy in to cuck him and doesn't know why. He knows he's eroticizing the pain and he's now making it part of his life that brings him joy.
Is he the most mentally healthy man?
No, this is the new Marquis de Sade. This guy is going nowhere good.
Guy just transforming to a point where this becomes like a primary part of his psyche and his personality, and he sits around all day thinking about it. Meanwhile, the bull is at home watching TV.
Yeah.
Gets a text and just stands up and goes, I got to go out for 30 minutes. I'll be right back. His wife and kids go, all right, get some milk on the way home.
In. Yeah.
Yeah, I men, guess I'll fuck your wife.
Men will get their pig ugly bull that stole their first fiance to fuck their new wife instead of going to therapy.
Yes. Yeah. But does this guy need therapy?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I think just in case, we got to work out if there's something going on here. And he might walk out and say, hey, there's nothing going on here.
I mean, there's something going on, but maybe it's something going on and it's fine. Who knows?
Yeah. Why are we so quick to pigeonhole new behaviors as aberrant?
Yes.
You know, deviant. Mm,
yes.
This guy might be normal.
He might be the normalest man alive.
This could be a man, Biden's, you know, this America. Could be your boss. This could be your coworker.
This could be your boss.
They are out there. You never
cucks
know
are
where
out
they're
there.
Gonna be.
You never know.
90% of people are cucks.
That's true. Yes. That's
but no one's willing
true.
To say it. All we need is a sort of like a I am Spartacus moment.
I was thinking a John Wick put the call out kind of moment. He's walking through New York.
Yeah. Everyone turns around. Kind of like, fuck my wife.
Fuck my wife.
Fuck my wife. I have a follow-up question here from someone asking the person with the ugly lifetime bull.
Yeah.
Does he have a bigger dick?
And good he question.
Important to know. Important to know.
It's great to know. That's great context.
It's one of the factors. It's one of those stress factors in relationships with a third man who's also fucking your wife.
Marginally, yes. Both my fiance and my wife have measured them for their own amusement.
Okay. Yep.
Fair.
You like? I don't.
It's amusing to them.
That came up naturally with each of them.
With
both
them.
Of your penises.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what's happened here. I think you've been like, "Can you measure both our dicks, please? Like next time you see him, can you measure his dick and then measure my dick and then tell me the mine is smaller, please?"
Yeah.
I'm just seeing a pattern here.
And it sounds like they're both mostly the same size, but they've been like, oh, no, I think this one's like, he's a little bit bigger.
Yeah. I can feel the difference.
They're not in a position to do it side by side.
Yeah, they should just do it side by side.
Yeah. Just kind of go back to back and get your wife to run the head over top.
Well, I
like
think
top to tail them, right? Kind of.
That would be much harder, I think.
Like by going,
I think you are top to top.
You go point to point, but next to each other. Whichever one touches first, the other person is the longer penis. Does that make sense?
No.
Like lying next to each other, and maybe
you're
like
facing each other.
You're facing each other,
fully erect, and you just sort
standing,
of kind of like
erect.
A docking procedure, but a side by side.
Sort of like bumping, like tugboat.
Right, next to
yeah, the one that gets booped.
Up against each other. Yeah, they're booping
each other. The one that gets booped has the smaller penis.
They're just booping snoots.
Oh, I guess it's you. Ah!
How far back are we pushing the ugly bull's fat pad before we measure?
Oh, no, the ugly bull is ripped.
Depends
He's
on the
a
body
personal
type.
Trainer.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. True. Yeah.
He's
you have
shredded.
To, where are you going to baseline from, though? Because I think maybe the husband's got to stand up on a little soap.
He's
got
a bread box. With my fiance, he was about 3/4 of an inch bigger because I didn't really perform on the day. My wife was a bit more scientific with it, and he won by 1/8 of an inch, but still gets to call himself bigger.
One
angry
eighth
emoji.
Of an inch. Angry Come emoji. On now. You wish he was bigger. You want him to be bigger.
You 1/8 of an inch? There are so many factors that could be influencing that. That's
no,
not
he's got it.
Hydration.
Ah, dang. You beat me again.
Yeah.
By a hair, by a nose.
Oh, look at this. 1/32 of an inch. Nice. I guess you do have the much bigger penis.
Just no wonder she loves it. Just in terms of psychology, right? So this guy's onto his second partner with this bull.
Yes.
Do you think that if he splits up with second fiance, current wife.
The bull's coming along.
Do you think if he goes to a third woman that he's asking the bull to come with him to the new relationship?
They're soul bound now.
They're soul bound.
They have to.
Yes.
I mean, they haven't spoken about it yet, but they are bound.
They know.
They're like the javelina and the man in that China Bieville Keanu Reeves book that only I read.
Huh.
Yep. It's going to hit really hard with like two people listening to this. They're going to be like, it is like that.
Yeah, and also it wasn't very good.
Look, the source material was no good. China Bieville did the best job he could of making it interesting. Hey, if you're looking for some middling sci-fi-ish stuff written by a celebrity, I guess that book is on the menu for you. We look at stuff that's on the menu in Looks Like Menus Back on the Menu.
Looks like menu, back on the menu, boys.
This is a press release from PR Newswire. Mudman Burgers is dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just outside Glacier National Park in the breathtaking state of Montana, a bold and flavorful mission is being carried out, one burger at a time. Mudman Burgers, owned and operated by Pastor Mike Rozelle, is not your average roadside burger joint. It's a ministry on a mission, flipping burgers, fries, and shakes with eternal purpose to fund the work of Potterfield Ministries across East Africa, Cambodia, and Guatemala.
Don't go over there. Leave them alone.
Leave them alone.
Yeah.
It's my humble opinion.
Do the charity stuff, not the missionary stuff.
Yeah,
can we do it without that, maybe?
Can't you witness by example? Instead of sort of by literal conversion, maybe if you do enough good works, people be like, you know what? Why are they so generous? I've seen them reading this book. Wonder what that's all about.
Let them be curious. Let them come to you.
Yes. Be fishers of men.
Mm. Atheist ministry where they go, what are they? They're so generous, but what's that book they're reading? It seems huge. It's an infinite jest.
It's really long.
It's really long.
Pastor's giving another sermon from Gravity's Rainbow.
Every time a guest orders from Mudman Burgers, they're doing much more than enjoying an outrageous meal. They're investing in eternity. Each burger sold becomes a lifeline to a child in Kenya, Uganda, Congo, Cambodia, or Guatemala, where Potter's Field Ministries is actively sharing the gospel, providing education, meals, and discipleship for children in need. The ministry is led by Pastor Mike Rozelle, the visionary behind Mudman Burgers and co-founder of Potter's Field Ministries. Alongside his wife, Pam Rozelle, the couple has created a revolutionary model of faith-driven business that is truly changing the world, one burger at a time. Then they've double-dipped on one burger at a time.
They did, yeah. Back to that again.
Yeah.
You probably need to burn... I typically see when you kind of walk into the burger joint, they've got patties on the grill. There's more than one going at a time. There's probably 7 or 8. Yep. On there.
It would be crazy to make one at a time.
It'd be crazy.
That'd be an insane way of running a burger business.
Yeah.
Yep. Got to wait until this one's finished cooking. I put this one down.
Stop focusing on one thing at a time, you know. Stop starting and start finishing. Just finish that one burger, you know.
You know, I always think science finishing. Has found that we yes. can't be, that multitasking doesn't actually exist.
Yep. I'm turning around to a big queue of very angry people and saying, yeah. do you want your burger cooked or cooked right? I say to the queue stretching out the door, many people twirling a gun on one finger.
Quote, every burger we sell is like an insurance policy, says Pastor Mike Rozelle. It ensures that some underprivileged child somewhere in the world is going to hear the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. That's what keeps us going day and night. Mudman Burgers is more than a place to eat. It's a platform for purpose. The kitchen staff isn't just cooking food. They're fueling a global mission. Some of the profits from Mudman Burgers are directly poured into the Potter's Field Ministries, which is reaching thousands of children with hope, healing, and the message of salvation through Christ. Pam Rozelle, co-founder of the ministry and wife of Pastor Mike Rozelle, has been a vital part of the journey. Together, the Rozelles have blended bold flavors with bold faith to create Ooh. Something truly special. With every sizzling burger, crispy fry, and creamy shake, mm-hmm. Mudman Burgers is spreading the gospel to the nations.
This okay. is very ChatGPT, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard to tell. Like, you've worked in copywriting. You know that a lot of that stuff just reads like something this that a robot would make up as well.
That's true. Yeah. This one's got all the tells, though.
Well, there are a lot of those M dashes in there. Thought I'd give you a list of the burgers on their menu.
I was going to say, what are the burgers? Let's go.
Well, the top line item, Mudman Burger.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a third of a pound burger with all the fixins.
It's more than a quarter.
It's the hero burger, hey?
$10.50. The Big Mud. That's a double. So two patties, cheese and bacon.
Double mud on that thing.
So that's two burgers at two patties at a time, yeah. I guess.
I was really hoping for like the Judas burger, you know?
No, the website doesn't mention the religious part at all, weirdly.
Yeah.
Kind of strange. It's
conspicuously absent, I would say.
Probably to make more money.
They've got the Mud Boy burger. That's a quarter pounder with all the fixings.
Yeah, my bull will have the Big Mud and I'll have a Mud
I'll
Boy.
The Mud Boy.
Are you sure you don't want to have the little bitty burger?
Oh, no.
It's an eighth of a pound with secret sauce and veggies. And, of course, the Mud Bird.
Hmm.
It's grilled chicken, secret sauce, cheese, bacon, and veggies. I was sort of looking up their stuff just to see what their whole deal is. And I found an article from Montana Public Radio from February of 2021. A Christian ministry based in Whitefish, which operates the Mudman Burgers chain, has agreed to pay former employees roughly $118,000 in back pay and penalties for these unpaid wages.
Well, they got to spend all the money on telling the Cambodian kids about Jesus, though.
No, they've got to spend some of the money.
Yes. Potter's Field Ministries agreed to pay workers unpaid wages following decisions against the ministry by the Montana Department of Labor and Industry last month. State found the group illegally underpaid five employees, totaling roughly $118,000 in both back wages and penalties.
Now, so if my understanding of American minimum wage is correct, that means that they did not pay those five employees for several years each.
Yeah.
Yeah.
$118,000 for like a person who works in a burger place over there.
Yeah, that's fucking hell.
Woo!
That's a lot of money. Potter's Field in-house counsel, Sharon DeMuro, confirmed to MTPR in a text message that the nonprofit is paying its former workers what they are owed, but declined to make any further comment. Potter's Field had argued that former workers were volunteers, not employees, and they were donating their time as an act of worship. State officials say workers signed illegal agreements asking them to work 60-hour weeks or more for as little as $300 a month.
A month?
Jesus.
Yeah. You know when you got a teen in your burger restaurant, like working at the grill for 60 hours in a single week, and you're like, wow, doesn't this feel good? Communing with the Lord through cooking these burgers.
Jesus thanks you.
That's so fucking rough. Hey, if that happened to you, maybe that should have been something you should have chatted about to the other people in your life and asked them, hey, is this fine? We talk about stuff we should chat about in Stuff We Should Chat About.
Here comes some stuff we should chat about. Stuff we should chat about. Boom, there's still stuff to chat about. Stuff we should chat about. Here comes some more stuff to chat about. We're chatting about stuff. Yeah, baby.
Now, kind of ummed and ahed about doing this one on the show. Because, you know, we don't like to get serious. Too serious.
No. Okay.
On here. Like to keep serious. It quiet. But sometimes you got to work it out. You got to work it out. You got to chat about it, I think. Do you guys ever get like just one really long hair?
Yep.
Yeah.
Like where?
Well, so I've divided this. I think I've got two categories, right? One in like a hair desert, and one hair will just appear in the middle of nowhere where you'd never had hair before,
mm-hmm.
and it'll just grow to like 6 inches long.
Mm.
Then you've got the tall poppies somewhere, you know.
Longer than their brethren around them.
Much longer than their brethren. And you're going like, hey, what are you up to, little fella? Big fella?
You plucking that thing or you letting it grow?
You plucking? Oh, look, you tell yourself you're not going to. But you've got to have a look at it. You can't check it out if you don't pluck it.
Yeah. But ideally, you want to get a normal hair next to it so that you can hold them next to each other and go,
hey, look how long this one is. Look how much longer than the other ones this is.
Sometimes when someone says they have a stuff we should chat about they want to do, they have like a whole thing they've kind of prepared. Maybe if not written down, but like they've given it quite a bit of thought and it's just sort of been baking away for a while. I'm not currently getting that impression.
What if we all said no? What if we said, that's not
why we got to chat about
normal.
It. I don't know necessarily what's normal. You go like.
My issue is not having hairs that are too long compared to the other ones. It's that I get these sporadic hairs that are like way, way thicker than the other hairs. Like we've all seen the seminal film The Fly by David Cronenberg. When he's pulling one of his like fly bristle hairs out of his back, Gina Davis yanks one out of him and she's like, oh, this shit is like fucking piano wire.
Yeah.
That's one eyebrow that I get here on the regular. There's one hair on the very back of this hand that just is just solid black compared to all of the other hairs that are not that color. And I want to know, where are you coming from?
That's right. You got the
Why
weird
are you
hair.
So sharp?
Yeah. And to answer the question like, hey, what if everyone said no? You know, one time I found out there's a tiny, tiny little spot, like a little bit of like scab or something on my neck, right? And I just gave it a little scratch and turns out it was like right on top of the vein in my neck. And then blood just like poured out like down the length of my body.
Oh,
and I took a photo and I was like, hey, check out what just happened. And a lot of people got upset.
They're like, plug that back in.
Put that back in.
Put it back.
It's a load-bearing hair.
Just in case you were wondering about that gross thing. Well, another gross thing happened to me once.
Yeah. But that one wasn't normal.
I had been considering doing something for the live show that I ended up passing on, but I thought it would make a good use of having a large audience, is sort of listing all of the weird things that I've had a hard time articulating about stuff that happens with my body randomly sometimes. I can't put it into Google because I don't really know how to say it and find out if it's normal or not. But I thought we could do like a straw poll of a live audience. And I decided that anything that encouraged more audience participation was a big mistake, which I think ultimately was for the best.
Did you have something specific?
I've got a couple of things.
Okay.
One of them I actually heard articulated on a podcast the other day, and I found out it's perfectly normal and most people can kind of do it. Can you guys do the thing where you can sort of voluntarily vibrate your like your tympanic membrane or whatever and it makes like a rushing noise in your ears?
Oh, maybe you sometimes.
Like, so. It's like sort of like clenching your jaw kind of does it and it makes like a...
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, so it's like it like feels like it's inverted or something.
Something's
and sometimes it doesn't like undo if you got like a blocked nose or something and you go on a plane. I don't know.
To me, it's almost like the noise of like blood rushing or something. It's weird, but it's something you can kind of do by like clenching your jaw, sort of. It's a weird thing with those muscles.
Yeah.
I've just sent you guys something in the show chat, by the way. Mark, can you get that up on screen?
Is there a photo attached? Am I going to regret clicking? Okay. Well,
no, you're not going to regret clicking.
What's wrong with you?
Oh. Well, you didn't describe the image that well. I will say that it's like your shirtless torso covered in
shirtless
blood.
Torso, yeah. And then also there's blood running all the way down me.
It's good to know that we wear the same, I think it's the Target brand of underwear. The Max?
The Max.
Yep.
Both on that. That's great.
They're keeping all my shit in. I don't need any more.
Another one is that sometimes if I'm like, maybe not even straining, but every now and then my eyes will like, they'll like vibrate. Like real fast, like side to side, like a little spasm where they just go blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's does never that, happened to me. That's fucked
that,
up.
That happened to me when I took two ecstasy at the same time.
Okay. Well, yeah. This just happens to me not on drugs. So just sometimes okay. That'll sort of happen. Hmm. Yeah. What else? I'll come up with a better list later and then we'll see how you guys feel about it. Is that, Theo, was that the whole thing that you had was sometimes you...
You have the hair that's long?
Hairs?
Yeah, I mean, I found one yesterday.
Oh. Hey, weird stuff happening on Theo's body. What about some weird stuff happening in Poland? It's time for the Poll Report. This comes to us from English language Polish news site Notes from Poland. Polish fisherman finds medieval sword in Warsaw River.
Cool.
That's so dope.
Probably
That's
put it back though.
Awesome.
Yes. No, don't put it back.
You reckon it? Why? What bad would happen if you remove the sword from the river?
It just feels like it's in there for a reason. You know, it's probably imbued with some kind of mythical power.
Yeah, that's true. But isn't that why you'd want to wield it? Want it? Am I
if
crazy?
You can wield it. If
weird
you
magical
can
source?
Wield it.
A fisherman has discovered a well-preserved medieval sword in the Vistula, Poland's longest river. The item has now been handed over to the authorities, who will ensure that it is properly preserved and seek to ascertain its provenance.
All right.
On Tuesday, Andrei Kopikiewicz, sorry, Poland, visited the Vistula riverbank near the Tarkoman district near Warsaw. Water levels are currently at record lows following a recent heat wave and lack of rain. He spotted a metal object, which he told the Polish press agency he initially thought was a hinge. However, after extracting it and cleaning it up, he realized it was a sword embossed with a cross emblem. Having traveled to the river on an electric scooter, Kopikiewicz realized that this would not be a practical way to carry the sword home. So
pretty
he hid it in
though.
The grass. Oh my God, you fucking should have, dog. Put that thing on your back. Scooting home with a fucking 1,000-year-old Polish medieval sword.
That feels so
cavalry.
Good.
Man.
So he hid it in the grass, went home, then returned to the site by car and placed the sword in the boot. Before handing over the sword to the relevant authorities, Kopikiewicz...
swung it around in his yard a lot.
He did some cool moves.
Like you
he
would,
He held it aloft.
The police arrive and you hand it over to them. What's with all those half watermelons
halfway
in your yard there?
Hold that.
Making some juice.
Yeah. Sword's still sharp, by the way.
Before handing over the sword to the relevant authorities, Kopikiewicz contacted an amateur metal detectorist friend who told him that such items should remain soaked in water as long as possible in order to not deteriorate.
Huh.
Yes. Sort of free willy rules, I think. If you do have to transport it out of the water, you got to keep them sprayed down.
Yeah.
I read
How
a,
can that be true?
That doesn't sound right.
What do you mean?
Of
Isn't
preserving
water
metal.
Bad for... bad for metal?
No, I think wet things that get oxygen on them,
they oxidize. And
they oxidize, and that's when it bads, whereas they stay somewhat preserved. Obviously,
they
still
stay
wet.
Oxygen down there, yeah.
I guess
yeah.
So, what about like oil? A shipwreck.
Oh, maybe put it in a beautiful olive oil.
Well, I'm just thinking maybe if you've got some sword oil around, you might want to apply it.
Yeah.
Oil. You can get different kinds that are good against beasts and, you know.
I don't know of any video games off the top of my head where the oil does something as well.
Well, okay. So, The Witcher 3.
Is The Witcher going to be one of them?
The Witcher 3 from Poland.
All right.
All right. Big into sword arts, big into sword oils.
I played the tutorial. Potions. And then I went to the first village and there was some sort of lady near a well or something and I did something there and then I went, forget about it.
Yeah, I just got a lot of guys going a doo-hoo-hoo. Yeah,
I've heard that.
And then you could cut them in half with your big sword.
There's a card game you can play, but I couldn't really figure it out.
Oh, and there's sex in the game, right?
Yeah, there is.
That's what I hear.
Oh, do you get to control the action?
Yeah, do you get to like press X to thrust? Yeah.
Press X to fuck.
I wouldn't do it right anyway. I trust Gerald.
Yeah.
Geralt.
It's Gerald.
Why is
Gerald.
It with a hard G?
Gerald the Witcher.
Gerald of the Riverina. So he wrapped the sword in t-shirts soaked in water from the Vistula. I like that he, obviously it was the water at hand, but it does seem like he was just kind of make sure it was the right water.
The right water.
Keep
it's,
the water
it's,
consistent.
It's of the Vistula. Yes. From the Vistula of the Vistula.
Yes. For the blade of the Vistula.
Yeah, you're giving it water from the Nuru River? You're fucking up.
Did you just look up another river in Poland?
Oh, for the last 5 minutes, I've been zooming in and out on Warsaw or Google Maps for no particular reason.
Well, obviously because you were bored, nothing else happening, so...
Hey, I got a river name out of it.
Yeah. Are those pills working? They kicked in?
I need more, I think.
Look at him multitasking.
Yeah, somewhat competently. The artifact then spent the night in his car, and the next morning, Kopakiewicz and his wife brought it to Warsaw's Conservator of Monuments. Quote, I immediately thought that it would have to be given to someone who knows about such items, he told the Polish press agency.
So dope that Poland has, like, sword people.
Yeah. Sword guy.
Yeah,
you call
found
it 1-800 swords.
1-800 swords.
But the W has a line through it, and there's no way of knowing what that means.
1-800 swords.
Quote, at the conservator's office, we were met with great excitement and surprise because it turns out
you
that it's probably a big find. Well, yeah, if you go to the 1-800 swords place and you're like, I have a sword.
Cool. How often
sword?
Are they getting a call?
Ring the bell. We got the sword. Don't know how to do a Polish accent.
Yeah,
I've never known.
Quite Nordic.
I mean, Nordic enough for our purposes.
Yeah.
All of our accents for Europe are the same.
Yeah. I mean, compared to us, Poland is very Nordic.
That's true. They're
That's
way more Nordic.
Definitely
than we
true
are.
Of Poland. Yeah.
They're Nordic.
Nordism is a spectrum.
I'm on the Nordic spectrum.
I guess that's why I like public transport.
Now, I don't know if this story sounded at all familiar to you guys. I don't know if you travel in these sorts of circles. But to me, I read it and I was like, I'm having the craziest fucking deja vu right now. But it turns out the exact same thing happened last year. Oh. So it wasn't a fisherman, but they were doing some dredging in the Vistula. And they came across a 1,000-year-old sword with a cross for the hilt.
Yes.
In the river, like in the riverbed. Isn't that fucking wild? But
that's
it also
crazy.
Makes me think that the Vistula is trying to like create King Arthur's and it's not taking.
Aha.
Just like producing swords and
being
like,
do you think
like,
it's generating the swords in there?
I think
you think it's generating them. Maybe
the river is, well, or at least pushing them up to
it's
the surface.
It's extracting
from,
them from the earth and pushing them up. To try
there's
to
a,
find
a deep
a wielder.
Vein of fate in there.
Yes. And then tapping that vein of fate, passing it on to an ordinary person and seeing if they accept the mantle, the responsibility and the powers that come
this
with
guy
the blade.
Didn't, though. He called the swords hotline.
Yeah, he's like,
He wasn't prepared for it himself.
I'm a level 4 peon. I got here on an e-scooter.
Yeah. Right. I can't take this. I'm just a level 4 peon.
I'm a mage class. I cannot wield it.
Yeah.
Some people aren't brave enough to decide who should be cut in half right down the center.
Yeah.
But I am.
Yes.
I think you've got to be bold to know when it's time to switch to dual class.
Yes. Yeah.
To decide sometimes when you find a cool sword, the stats are fucking great.
Mm-hmm. And you think, you know what? I'll take a level in fighter.
You've been meaning to take a level in fighter anyway, right? Like,
yes.
It might not get you where you want to be, but you find it interesting.
And you will get a bonus feat straight away.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. I think the problem is that it's giving it to people who have too much sense of civic responsibility.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, you want someone with a good heart, but you want to get them in their sort of whiny teenage Luke Skywalker phase where, like, their intentions are good, but they're still a little bratty. So their first thought isn't going to be, I'm going to take this sword to a museum because that's where it belongs. Their first thought should be, whoa, a sword. And then they keep the sword.
Yeah, they're researching about it. They want to know all about it, but they're also kind of swinging it around in the garage.
Yes.
Yeah, and they've just hit their old scanner and knocked it off the shelf. You don't want the sword kind of doing the end from Indiana Jones 1, right? Like, you don't want it going in a big warehouse.
No.
No.
What good
it's going up there on a big pile of other swords, just like clang.
Like, yeah. I bet you could really, really do something. You could really do something.
You really
with
do,
this
something.
Sword,
do something,
and perhaps the sword is seeking a master for that purpose.
A sword imbued with fate.
I don't know why in Poland, but you know, we all start
probably
somewhere.
Got some strife.
Yeah,
they're living under capitalism. They've probably got some shit going on.
You could be bravely becoming a new Polish superhero who determines who is being too rude in the line at the fast food place.
Yeah.
Hey. We're all queuing up here, so
yeah. You start stabbing the roof to get everyone's attention.
Someone's been really rude to the cashier, and then as they hold out their hand to tap their card,
wow,
just bam.
Yeah.
Blood pissing out of there like a little anime.
Yeah, and no one's laughing at you anymore.
No.
Why would they?
Does anyone else feel like being rude now?
Yeah.
Would anyone laugh at a guy who owns a sword?
Yeah.
Hey, finding a sword in a river and then not using it for good, that seems like a bad sign to me. We talk about signs, good and bad, in Omens and Portents.
You shall see hail fall from a clear sky and burn as fire upon the ground. You shall see darkness cover Egypt when the sun climbs high to noon. And you shall know that God is God. Bow down to his will.
This comes to us from WLWT in Ohio. Kentucky women get matching tattoos after being struck by lightning while on vacation.
Beautiful.
Yes, sister.
Yeah.
Isn't the sisterhood so powerful?
So beautiful. Girlhood, womanhood.
Yes. Drunk conversations in the bathroom at the club, even though you don't know each other. Getting struck by lightning together and then getting a matching tattoo.
It's a tattoo of lightning.
It's so shit. It is dog shit. It is a like little like stylized lightning bolt like that a child would draw next to their like cool robot that they've drawn.
Yeah. But maybe to them that was how they saw it.
Maybe.
To them, that's their truth.
But you know what's kind of funny about this, though, is that they have lightning scars now. I don't know if you guys have seen those before.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
But holy fuck.
Yeah, they're super
they look
cool,
so
right?
cool.
Yeah. You don't
they're
need a tattoo.
Potter? Cool.
They don't. Shut the fuck up. But, like, they look like these beautiful, organic, sort of fractal almost patterns of, like, the, I don't know, the current trying to disperse or whatever theory. That's more your area, but they look amazing. They don't look like a fucking shitty like couple of lines line drawing of a lightning bolt.
They look like, have you seen that shit where they like electrocute a piece of wood
kills more things than just about anything else that people do for YouTube is doing those doing those boards. I'm serious.
And here's the funny thing, they look like shit.
Yeah.
And then you pour some resin over it.
Man, I've just posting something in the chat here, but while looking at lightning scars, I found another article from a couple of years ago about someone who survived a lightning strike getting a lightning tattoo. And it's even worse. It's like the same style of like stylized lightning bolt, but it looks like it has...
It looks wrong. That looks like someone's kind of gotten confused halfway through.
Mm. It's actually really hard. I remember trying to draw those as a 10-year-old and I couldn't tell whether you meant to line up the zigs or the zags or whether they're meant to be offset.
So it's not a zigzag. It's a zig-zig-zag. And that's too many zigs or zags for a lightning bolt.
But it also has small branches of lightning coming off it, like the way that an adult would draw lightning. Yeah. Not the way that it's a hybrid.
Yeah.
Child adult lightning picture. Isn't your body would be marked permanently by it anyway, is kind of what I'm.
Yeah. Also, you got struck by lightning. You should know that life is fragile and you should just like get a sick tattoo. You could get a tattoo of Goku. You could be like, fuck it. I could die at any time. I'm going to get that Goku tattoo.
You get that Goku tattoo.
I'm going to be doing a Goku. Kamehameha. Yeah,
life is too short. I'm getting that Goku tattoo.
Goku with his cock out.
And underneath,
I could die tomorrow.
Cursive script, it says Goku strong. Because I feel Goku strong. I survived a lightning strike.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to start selling Goku strong bracelets.
I think we need to get on like. I feel like this is something that every, a lot of countries that aren't like Western countries are really good at is incorporating Goku just into tourism merch. Like I saw so many fucking shirts in Peru that were just like Goku with some kind of Peruvian stuff going on around him. Bootleg same as in bot. Mexico. Like we should have.
Yeah, we should have like, more of that. We should have Goku stuff.
They're not going to chase you if
we
you just
like... We
should
have stuff that breaches IP.
Who fucking is going to find you if you're just like selling out of a van and it's like Goku just smoking a fat blunt and he has dreadlocks.
Yeah, instead it's glasses made from old skateboards.
Yeah.
And it costs $700.
That's you talking about that shop that's in West End?
Is it in West End now? Because I saw that down at like Byron.
Oh, I assume it's gone out of business now, but it was there.
Moving up.
Yeah. If you go to Nimbin, it's just like, it's those mountain design shirts where it's like a lion with dreadlocks on a tie-dye shirt.
Yeah.
Or it's an alien smoking a joint, which is admittedly.
Yeah, or it's Bob Marley.
Very cool. Yeah. Or Bob Marley as a lion.
Yeah. Computer, bring up Bob Marley lateralis.
Goku Bob Marley. A group of women from Kentucky who survived a lightning strike in Florida have now honored their shared experience with ink. The women got matching lightning bolt tattoos. They say the permanent ink will forever commemorate the life-changing moment. Quote, we're here
I would just
getting...
remember, I think. I'd remember that time I got hit by lightning. I don't know.
It'd be somewhat informative, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I was in like grade 5 or something, a girl in my grade got struck by lightning. And she was fine, seemingly.
I mean,
she was quite injured, but like she survived.
she was very injured.
You got to think that it's going to rewire something. You might not know what it is till down the line, you know?
Yeah. You guys read about that guy that the guy who has been hit by lightning more than anybody. And he's like, I want to stop getting hit by lightning.
Well,
I
should have thought about that.
I hate getting hit by lightning so much.
People have had a look at like what he's doing in his life. Is he a golfer?
I think he was a ranger.
Is he a lumberjack? Oh, okay. Well,
he also died in 1983. Oh. Roy Cleveland Sullivan, park ranger in the Shenandoah National Park. Between 1942 and 1977, Sullivan was claimed to have been struck by lightning on 7 occasions, surviving all of them.
That's an auspicious number.
For this reason, he gained the nicknames Human Lightning Conductor and Human Lightning Rod. Not very imaginative.
Nice. Fucking sucker ass.
But he's a humble man.
I think it's his fault.
Look at this. Check this out. This is honestly some portentous shit. When he was a child, he was helping his father to cut wheat in a field when a thunderbolt struck the blade of his scythe. Without injuring him.
He's the successor to death.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's Mort.
Yeah, and then he died.
Well, did he?
I think so.
Or did he accept the mantle?
No, he killed himself. Oh. Because he got struck by lightning so much.
Sorry, did he really?
Described.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, come on.
I It's a story. It's about the human condition.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's what we do on this podcast.
He was said to have been avoided by people during the later years of his life, owing to fears of being struck by lightning, and that saddened him.
Yay.
He once recalled,
"Oh my God.
For instance, I was walking with the chief ranger one day when lightning struck way off in the distance. The chief said, 'I'll see you later.'"
Like, that's fair enough. Yeah, okay. Pretty rough.
Get away from the lightning guy.
Yeah.
You got to, like, think a bit about, you know, there's, what, eight billion of us on the planet now? The people that are just absolutely
probably back down,
fucking...
I think, down to 7 billion now because of birth rates.
Are we going backwards?
Yeah, because of birth rates.
I think, fuck, it'll be easier to find a park.
Oh, my God. Sullivan's first documented lightning strike was in April 1942. He was said to have been hiding from a thunderstorm in a fire lookout tower. The tower was newly built and had no lightning rod at the time. It was said to have been struck 7 to 8 times. Sullivan described the scene from within the tower, saying that fire was jumping all over the place.
Oh, my God.
Sullivan was said to have then run out of the burning tower just before being struck a few feet away by lightning.
God's like, "I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you."
God hates this guy. He's
Here comes my lightning.
they were doing suppressing lightning on him. Yeah. Look, he's out from behind cover. Zap.
Get him.
It burned a half-inch strip all along his right leg, hit his toe, and left a hole in his shoe.
God damn.
Oh, man. I just saw a photo from a guy that got a 14,000-volt shock while doing some electrical work, and it left scars on his eyes that I've just posted them in the chat. Check that shit out.
Oh, man.
My God, this is the most...
He's got the shining.
He's the most hunted man in history. He was hit again in July 1969. Unusually, he was hit while in his truck. The metal body of a vehicle normally protects people from lightning strikes by acting as a Faraday cage. The lightning first hit nearby trees and was deflected into the open window of the truck.
Oh, God got him with that bank shot?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
It knocked him unconscious, burned off his eyebrows and eyelashes, and set his hair on fire. The uncontrolled truck kept moving until it stopped near a cliff edge.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, God wants
you dead. In 1973, while he was out on patrol in the park, Sullivan saw a storm cloud forming and drove away quickly. But the cloud, he said later, seemed to be following him. When he finally thought he had outrun it, he decided it was safe to leave his truck soon after he was struck by a lightning bolt.
Fucking hell. He's got the
God
final destination
you,
thing. He can see it coming. Yeah. He's like, "You won't get me this time."
The
but
next strike in 1976 injured his ankle. It was reported that he saw a cloud, thought it was following him, tried to run away, but was struck anyway. His hair also caught on fire.
Goddamn.
I think he's doing something to make this happen. I think he's at home, he's rubbing balloons or something. I don't think so.
Yeah, I think this is balloons. A serious man situation. I don't think he did anything.
You reckon God's just testing him? He's being jobed.
He's being jobed.
He's being jobed. That's my new prank show.
Just got jobed.
And it's where we just take everything away from you.
Yeah. Kill your children.
Wife.
You just got jobed.
Yeah, you're just sort of having a massive crisis of faith, standing knee deep in the ocean, holding a gun, yelling at God, and then I pop up in a Zodiac, me and my camera crew. You've been jobed.
Are you guys jobing me?
We jobed you.
You've been jobed.
Am I getting
me the
jobed
whole time?
Right now? Am I being jobed right now?
Oh my God, the episode of Jobed where we got Zach Braff, he absolutely freaked out. It makes him look so bad when we jobed him.
Yeah.
Started taking it out on the people around him. I think that was technically an episode of the podcast, Bunta Vista. Thank you so much for joining us. If you would like a second one of these every week, you can get one of those for like $5 US a month, which right now I think is about $7 to $8 Australian. Not going to do all the currency conversions because we don't have time. It's the end of the episode.
It will protect you from lightning damage.
Yes.
That is
our promise.
Yeah.
You will not be struck by lightning if you subscribe to Bunta Vista. If you have been struck by lightning... I'm sorry to hear that, but we would love to hear from you. mailbag@buenavista.com. Describe your experience.
And please specify if the lightning strike
refund.
If the lightning strike happened before or after subscribing to this show.
Yes.
We're doing clinical studies, clinical trials.
Yes, because we will guarantee you will not be struck by lightning while listening to the show.
I'm confident.
So if you got struck by lightning and you weren't listening at the time, we can't be held accountable for that.
Yes,
exactly. And our insurance actually doesn't cover us for acts of God either. So
yes.
Yeah, the liability insurance that we have as a podcast, just in case.
Doesn't cover getting joked.
We will hopefully see you on the bonus episode. Hopefully see you on the free episode as well. I hope to see you in every episode. Forever. Because we're never going to stop.
Get in there.
Until then, stay safe. No golfing during thunderstorms. And if the lightning seems to be following you, let it happen. You can't stop what's coming.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Live underground.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.